And really, that's why today, and it kind of dovetails, I believe it'll just kind of give you a good spot here in time in between as he's in the middle of the sermon series, praying the Jesus way, because I do want to talk with you, as he said, about how there's power in the name of Jesus. That's really the point I want you to get today. And in the time of worship, already you've gotten that message. Through the time of singing, we've been reminded that there's no other name like the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so I want us to lean into that as we look at Acts chapter 3. Because really, it's right here in this text, as the early church is beginning to minister, you see the point made that without any doubt at all, we really cannot do the Christian life in our own strength, all right? And I think there's this misconception at times that we come to Jesus with our sins and with our need, and we confess Him as Lord, we're baptized, and about as soon as we've dried off from being baptized, then you have to live the Christian life in your own strength. And that's absolutely not the way we're to do it. In fact, even as we pray, even when Jesus teaches us to pray, never forget that people all around this world try praying. They do. I was in Dallas this week, and on the way back, it was a man of the Muslim faith that was driving us back to the airport. And I was sitting in the back seat, and my colleague, he was sitting in the passenger seat, and he began to have this conversation with our driver. And it was evident that our driver believed in praying. But unfortunately, he doesn't pray the Jesus way. And what became abundantly clear is that his entire worldview, and he's not alone in this. In fact, I would dare say that the majority of people who live within Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Hampton Roads, state of Virginia, they're believing, oh, I might can pray. But my praying really, it rests on me. I still have to kind of do this in my own strength, in my own power. And what is so radical about Christianity and what separates Christianity from all of the other ways of life out there is this. And really today, just grab hold of this key truth. You and I cannot do this in our own strength, in our own power. It's only through the power of Jesus. So look with me at Acts chapter 3. Let me read the text for you, because then you'll get the picture. The Bible says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. See, they're going up there at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, all right? And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. He was asking for a handout, folks. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're sitting there kind of begging for a handout, and someone says, hey, buddy, look at me. Aren't you expecting you're probably going to get a handout? Of course he was. But then look at what happens here. Verse 6. But Peter said, and I've underlined this in my Bible, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, catch this, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Loved ones, it's because there's power in the name of Jesus that this lame man was made to walk. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray right now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord God. You are my rock and redeemer. And God, I pray that these loved ones today, Lord, will receive your word, that you'll remind us that there's power in your name, and that it's in your name and by your name and through your name that we're saved, that we're sanctified, and ultimately we'll be glorified. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, I came across this little story from the kind of famed radio commentator, Paul Harvey, and he used to tell this story about this three-year-old little boy who loved chocolate chip cookies. And he went to the store with his mom one day, and she just needed to run into the store and grab a few things. And he had this habit of always asking for cookies whenever they went to the store. And so she sets him in the shopping cart, buckles him in, and she looks at him. She says, "Son, listen, I want to be real clear here today, all right? Mommy's just running in. We're getting a few quick groceries. We got to get home. We're going to get dinner ready. Daddy's going to be home soon. Do not ask me for chocolate chip cookies, all right? Do you understand that? Don't ask me for chocolate chip cookies." And he looked at her and said, "Yes, Mommy, I understand." So they began to make their way into the grocery store. She began to go down the aisles. And as soon as she had just gotten through the doorway, don't you know it, like most three-year-olds, he had a short attention span. He starts going, "Hey, Mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "Son, I told you, you're not getting chocolate chip cookies at the grocery store. Don't ask me again." And wouldn't you know it, she had to get some crackers, and the crackers are on the same aisle of her store as in my store. Guess what's also there? The cookies. And they make their way down, and he sees the chocolate chip cookies. And he's like, Mommy, but there's chocolate chip cookies. Can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she says, "No, son, listen, I'm just getting some things. We're not getting chocolate chip cookies." She makes her way through the aisle. She comes around the backside, and wouldn't you know, right there is one of those kiosks. They have like one of those tables set up, and right there they had, guess what, on sale? Chocolate chip cookies. And he sees those chocolate chip cookies, and this time he's just going to try to kind of bypass her. He just begins to reach out and grab some chocolate chip cookies. She notices, she says, "Get your hand back in the cart." And she looks around, because you got to look around nowadays because people got video cameras, and she gets down like this. She says, "Listen to me, son. Did I tell you once? Did I tell you twice? Do not ask for chocolate chip cookies. Do not try to grab any chocolate chip cookies. You're not getting chocolate chip cookies today." "Yes, Mommy." She makes her way to the checkout line. And she's there in the checkout line. She's getting her things out on the kind of out there on the table for them to check her out. And wouldn't you know it, he looks right over there, right where the chewing gum is and the candy bars. There's these conveniently packaged 4-packs of Chip Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. He feels like it's his last moment. That little guy unbuckles his seatbelt. He stands up in the shopping cart, reaches his hands to the heavens, and says, "In the name of Jesus, would somebody get me some chocolate chip cookies?" And the story goes that everybody around looked, started laughing like you did, and that little boy did not walk out of there with a box of chocolate chip cookies. He walked out of there with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies because everybody and his brother was buying him some. Now, I don't know if you believe that there's power in the name of Jesus or not today, but somewhere in this world, there's a grown man that believes there's power in the name of Jesus because of what happened that day. And so, loved ones, listen, I just want to give you really, really some support for this point that there's power in the name of Jesus, all right? Three aspects, really, to this man's life-changing encounter as he's made to walk for the first time in his life. Here's number one: there are helpless persons in this world. You see, people are powerless to handle some problems. I mean, when you look here at verses 1 and 2, we're told that Peter and John, they go to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. People are coming. It's their habit. It's the hour of prayer. They're making their way in. Verse 2, the lame man has been laid there. They would bring him there. Someone would bring him there day after day. They would lay him there at the gate because he's thinking that some of the most receptive people to probably helping him out are going to be folks that are coming in to kind of do their religious activities. So he comes there. He would usually get some money from folks as they come in. And part of that was because the rabbis taught that there were 3 pillars of the Jewish faith: the Torah, worship, and the showing of kindness or charity. And he's banking on the third one here. And so he's there at one of the main entrances begging and asking for these folks to help him because he can't really help himself. What a hopeless situation. And these folks are hurrying in for the religious services, and some of them are tossing them some change, and some of them maybe talk to them. Most are probably just ignoring him. Why? Because he's been there day after day, and nothing ever seems to change. Now I want you to think about something. This lame man knew he was helpless. He knew he was lame. No one had to walk by him each day and go, "Hey man, you realize you're hopeless? You realize that you cannot help yourself? Do you realize that you're weak and powerless?" No, no one had to tell him that, did they? He understood that. He knew better than anyone else that he was lame. He had been lame, the Bible says, since what? Birth. Here's the crazy situation. I submit to you that he wasn't the only person born lame. Every single one of us is born lame. We just don't realize it, and he did. You realize every single person born in this world is born lame. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Christ in their life. Here's the situation. At least he knew he was lame. Everybody else probably walking by him each and every day, they thought they kind of had this figured out. They thought they were checking the religious boxes. They thought they were doing okay. But the reality is this. It's just as this lame man had spent his entire life helpless, hopeless, and in a useless way, right outside the temple, right there. Yet at least he realized he was lame. At least he knew he needed help. So I want to ask you today, have you recognized that you're helpless without Christ? That we're hopeless without Christ? That this world is helpless and hopeless without Christ? Do we realize how desperately we need the power of Jesus in our lives? Every single church that's meeting right now in Virginia, across the United States, that's meeting or has met around the world, every single church, what we desperately need is the power of Jesus coursing through us. We need Jesus more than anything else. Yet what can happen is we can begin to think, well, you know what? Well, we might sing some songs, we may even say some prayers, we may even listen to some sermons. But I'm asking you today, as you've come in here, as you're sitting right now, listening to this episode that was taking place in this lame man's life, have you come to the point where you recognize that you can't do this on your own? As Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He came to the point of recognizing that he could not do this on his own, that he was a helpless person without Christ and without his power in his life. I got here in my pocket a little piece of paper towel. And Monday night and Tuesday morning, we hosted a prayer gathering of pastors from around Virginia. And these pastors came together, not for 10 minutes, not for an hour, but for over 4 hours. We just had a time of prayer together as we just cried out to God and just confessed how desperate we all need the power of Jesus in our lives. Then I got on an airplane that evening. And flew to Dallas and spent most of the day Dallas in a meeting where I was being reminded of how we can't do this on our own. As they were sharing with me statistics about pastors and church leaders and how weary they've grown and how much they need the power of God in their lives. And then I got on an airplane and came back home. And loved ones, this little paper towel, it reminds me of something that I'm afraid that maybe for a brief moment during the COVID pandemic, we kind of got in touch with, but I've grown concerned that perhaps we've wasted a good crisis. Because I could still remember the day I was in the grocery store myself. And my wife called me and she said, "Listen, while you're there at the store, go over and grab a couple more packages of toilet paper. Because I've just talked to so-and-so and she told me that there's a run on toilet paper and eventually there's not going to be any to get for a while." And I was like, "Listen, hon, I don't know what kind of stuff she's reading, or, you know, she believes all kinds of crazy stuff." I said, listen, we're in the United States of America. We don't run out of toilet paper, all right?" And I knew we were in a crisis mode. The day I walked into the bathroom and my wife had taken paper towels and had cut them into little 3-inch strips and laid them there on the sink counter. Because we had a college student now who was back home, and we had two other teenagers in the house, and I thought, we're in a crisis right now. Amen? And loved ones, I want you to know, I was powerless to change that. I couldn't snap my fingers. I couldn't even go down to the store and buy toilet paper for my family. And I share that little story with that little illustration just to point out that, listen, we're powerless to handle some problems. Now, some things you feel like you can take care of, and that's what begins to deceive us. In fact, there are probably people in this world that are probably much more clued in to this reality than we can be sometimes where we live. I bet you don't have to press this point to Christians living in communist China. I bet you don't really have to lean into this point and how desperate we've got to be for the power of Jesus to folks that are living for Jesus and trusting Christ in countries where they would be executed for their faith this morning. But you can get in your car after church service today. You can go down to a restaurant. You'll be able to have brunch. You'll be able to go to the store, buy some clothes for your family, go have a big day, whatever you want to do. Go to the movie theater, go home, watch the ball games, watch the NFL playoffs this afternoon, and go about your day. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like these folks that were walking past this lame man, walking into the temple, checking the box, and walking back out. So loved ones, today I want us to get the point that we're helpless persons without Christ. But secondly, here's the amazing truth that Peter drives home. In verse 4, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. You see, while we may be powerless to handle some problems, there's healing power. There's healing power. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, get verse 6. Don't miss the impact of verse 6. "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Just think about the name Jesus for a moment. Say the name Jesus aloud. Would you just say his name? Jesus. Jesus. Aren't you grateful you know the name Jesus? It's the dearest name of our Lord, isn't it? The name of Jesus tells us that he is the Savior. Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He has the power to save us, to redeem us. He's Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, commissioned by God the Father to save us. Colossians 1:20, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." He's Jesus Christ, and he says, "of Nazareth." Peter doesn't call him Jesus Christ of heaven. He's not called Jesus Christ of Jerusalem. Some of y'all have been with Pastor Ron and their team to Israel, and you've toured. I've been over to Israel, and it's amazing. I mean, Jerusalem, there's so much to see in Jerusalem. But I remember one time I was over in Israel, and I asked about Nazareth, and they kind of made this comment like, there's nothing much to see there. It's just a normal little old town. I love the fact that here Jesus Christ is referred to as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because it reminds me that Jesus Christ ministers to us in our common, everyday, working person places of need. It was where the carpenter shop was. You see, Jesus Christ is real. He walked this earth. He ministered to people. He gave his life on a cross for us, died for our sins. But friends, rose again from the dead, proving once and for all there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to make you well. Over in chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "By the name of Jesus, this man is standing before you well." Now, Peter is doing most of the talking here, but I have to kind of think about John who was there. You know, John was going to end up writing some stuff down, remember? He writes the Gospel of John. Remember how in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 2, John writes down how Jesus changed water into wine. In John 4, how he healed the nobleman's son. In John 5, how he heals the paralytic. In John 6, how he fed the 5,000. In John 9, how he heals the blind man. In John 11, how he raises Lazarus from the dead. And John goes on to say in the end of Gospel of John that Jesus did so many different signs, so many miraculous things, that if he were to write them all down, the books of the world would not be able to contain them. Loved ones, Jesus Christ has the power to make you well. Jesus Christ has the power to get us into heaven. Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus himself would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Loved ones, understand this. It's Jesus that makes us well. It's Jesus that gets us into heaven. And thirdly, there's power in the name of Jesus to produce answered prayer. You've been learning about how to pray the Jesus way. Towards the end of Acts chapter 4 and verses 23 to 31, they pray in the power of Jesus' name. Jesus would say this in John 14, 13, "And whatever you ask in my name," everybody just say Jesus. Jesus, "whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's power in the name of Jesus to produce answered prayer. And there's power in the name of Jesus to enable us to battle evil. In Luke 10, 17, the 70 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." There's power in the name of Jesus. Peter says, "What I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." There's a story told about Thomas Aquinas having a conversation with leaders of the church in Rome. In one account, he's having a conversation with the Pope, and in another account, he's having a conversation with one of the cardinals. I'm not sure which was which. But the point is the same point. He's walking around with this church leader, and he passes by a beggar on the street. And the church leader throws him a piece of silver. And then walks Thomas Aquinas into the Vatican treasuries and takes his hand and kind of just troughs it through the treasuries where his fingers just plow through a mound of gold coins. And he says to Thomas Aquinas, "No longer does the church have to say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" But Thomas Aquinas replied, "That's true, but also can no longer we say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Loved ones, what this world is in desperate need of is to once again know that we're calling upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That there's power in the name of Jesus for us to reach out to others in Jesus' name because there are hopeless persons. For us to minister in Jesus' name because there's healing power. There's one thing you can give this community, church. There's one thing you can give this city. I have a deep fondness and affection anytime I come here. It's been over 2 decades since I called this area home. I was raised in Newport News. I still have family who live there. My parents, my brother and his family still live in Newport News. When I left seminary, my wife and I moved here to Virginia Beach, served at a church for about 4.5 years, became friends with some of the brethren, some of the guys, especially that did youth work here at Atlantic Shores back in the day. Met folks from this church who have now grown up and minister and live all kinds of places. Our first daughter was born while we were living in this town. I think about all the folks that live here. Some of you maybe only for a couple years while you're stationed here. Others, you've lived here your whole life. Or others, you moved here and you've made your home here. I think about all of the neighborhoods and all of the folks that live in this little corner of Southeast Virginia. And loved ones, there's only There's ultimately only one thing they desperately, desperately need. And you're the only folks, it's only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that can give this to them. You can give them Jesus. It was Chuck Swindoll in his book, Grace Awakening. He wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. And loved ones, I'm telling you, you may be here today and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may know someone. You may have a close loved one. I have loved ones, they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we need to be praying for them. We need to be reaching out to them. You may have neighbors, you may have coworkers, classmates, they need Jesus. Because loved ones, realize this, without Jesus Christ, they're hopeless persons. But there's healing power in the name of Jesus. And lastly, what you see here is just look at how his life has changed and how he responds. Verse 8, and leaping up, he stood and he began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I kind of remember this section of scripture as there's hopeless persons, there's healing power, but oh, don't ever miss the hallelujah impact, I call it. In fact, I believe it was in the praise and worship time. I think it was Scott who even used the word hallelujah. Hallelujah just means, it means praise the Lord. And that's what happens here in response to Jesus transforming this man's life. Helping a lame man who had never walked to be able to walk. Not just crawl, not just walk, but actually leap and run. You realize he had never even been allowed inside the temple to actually worship God. They would only let him as far as the front door. And now folks are like, hey, listen, is that so-and-so? Is that the guy out there for 20, 30, 40 years has always just been begging for money every single day? And now he's in here and he's praising God. His life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. Now they get this physical demonstration of this. But loved ones, don't you forget today, don't you forget today that this world takes notice. It will still take notice and it will often misunderstand and may not have a clue until you explain it to them. But folks still take notice when they see Jesus Christ transform a person's life from the inside out. But I want to ask you this morning, because you may be here, and I know many of you here today, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I just want to ask you, are you living with that hallelujah mindset today? Because what seems to happen for so many of us as Christians, and in the job I'm in now, I spend a lot of time with pastors and I spend a lot of time with church leaders. And what has hit me the past year or two is it seems like that there's a whole lot of Christians that we're doing a whole lot of hand-wringing right now. And loved ones, I just want to remind us that the same Jesus that was changing lives in the first century is the same Jesus that can change lives in the 21st century. And God has convicted me of this, that a little while back, I kind of got to the point where I was like, well, you know, Lord, I know there have been some revivals and some spiritual awakenings, but I guess those days are done. I just kind of got to the point where I thought, you know, Lord, I don't see a revival of spiritual awakening taking place. I mean, I look at what I see in the news. I look at what I read. I look at the behaviors. I look at the junk that happens to be on television. And maybe you find yourself there too. But here's the thing, folks. Listen. Today, this morning, and over these next few weeks, as you lean into this idea of praying the Jesus way, don't you ever, ever forget. Let us get back to the point of where the power is. We pray because we are blessed with the very presence and empowerment of God. We pray because the Lord is with us and the Lord is in us. We can pray with confidence because Jesus Christ does indeed have power. He can bring revival and he can bring spiritual awakening. The testimony has already been given in this service that folks needing hope have been coming into your doors. that folks have been confessing Christ as Savior. Loved ones, we've got to get back to the point where we believe that the same Jesus who made this man healed, the same Jesus who healed this man, is the same Jesus that can transform you and me, our neighbors, our loved ones, our country, and our world. Maybe we need to simply pray what the father of that dying little girl, I think it was the Gospel of Mark, when he cried out to Jesus and he said, "I believe, but oh Lord, help my unbelief." Maybe today you just need to say, "In Jesus' name, Lord, help me. Help me trust you. Help me believe that there's power in your name." Pray for boldness. That's what you see at the end of Acts 4. Loved ones, pray for boldness. See the person. Don't miss the person. I on purpose have used the word person today, not the word people. Because I think sometimes we just kind of look at the masses as one big crowd. Peter and John learned from Jesus to see the person. You need to believe Jesus saves. And you've got to keep sharing the gospel. Because as Philippians 2 says, "Therefore, because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, not a name, but the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth." There's power in the name of, say it with me, Jesus. I want to ask you just to stand to your feet and bow your heads with me. As we come to this point in the service, we're going to sing a song here together. I just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And I just want to remind you of the testimony of Scripture of the greatness of the name of Jesus. And I'm just going to kind of read to you some of the names in the Scriptures, really from A to Z, that remind me of the majesty of the name of Jesus today. And you may want to come and kneel here in prayer. And I know you're in your life centers, you're renovating your worship center. But this is a place you find yourself worshiping today. And you may just want to kneel right where you are. You may want to come here and kneel in prayer. You may just want to lift your hands right where you're standing. You may just want to bow your head in humility. And you may just want to sing this song with the loudest voice you can muster up. But loved ones, today I just want to ask you, are you trusting there's power in the name of Jesus? Because you see, there is no other name like Jesus. The Bible tells us he's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Anchor. He's the Advocate. He's Author. He's Almighty. He's the Bright Morning Star. He's Bread of Life. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He is the Chief Shepherd. He's the Door to the Sheepfold, the Deliverer from Darkness. He is El Shaddai. He is Elohim. Isaiah said he's Everlasting Father. The Bible tells us he's Finisher of our faith. He's the Friend of Sinners. He's the Holy One. He's my hiding place. He's the hope of glory. He's immortal, invisible. He is the great intercessor. He is the very image of God. He is Jehovah Jireh, Rapha, Shalom. He is the judge. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Glory. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's the keeper of the keys. Amen. He's Lord of all. He's Lamb of God. He's Light of the World, Lion of Judah, Living Water. He's Messiah. He's Most High. He's the Maker. He's the Man of Sorrows. He's the Master. He's the Narrow Way. He's Nebuchadnezzar's fourth man in the fire. He's the only begotten Son. He's the offering once and for all. He's Prince of Peace. He's Power of God. He's the Quieter of Storms. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Rock of Salvation. He's the Root of Jesse. He's the Resurrection and the Life. He's Son of God, Son of Man, Servant, Savior, Shiloh, Strength, Song and Shield. This is what the Scriptures teach us. He's teacher, true vine, the way, the truth, and the life. He's unction from the Holy One. He's victor, virgin born. He's the veil splitter. He's word of life. He's witness. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a warrior. He's wisdom. Now the letter X is tough. So I just went with exempt from death forevermore. Can I get a witness? Amen. He's the yes and amen. He's Yahweh. He is Zion's stone. Do you believe there's power in the name of Jesus today? Amen. Father, we pray right now. Anyone in this room, anyone watching online, if they've not put their faith and their trust in you for the first time in their life, entering into a relationship with you, the living God, we pray today would be the day of salvation for them. They would reach out to one of the pastors here. They would reach out to this church. And they would say, today I trust Jesus. Now what? And that, Lord, we would let them know that you're with them and that we will walk with them too. And Father, I pray for the believers, for us as believers, that you would allow us, that you would lead us in these next few moments to just lean into this truth that there's power in your name, Jesus. That as we continue to learn to pray the Jesus way, that we would know that when we say our prayer, when we say in Jesus' name, amen, that there's power. God, help us to keep praying for revival and spiritual awakening. Help us to keep praying for America. Help us to keep praying for our leaders. Lord, help us to keep praying for our lost loved ones. God, help us to keep looking to you for our strength. Help us to confess our need for you, that we are weak and that we are strong. When we confess our weakness and lean on you, oh God, help us today, I pray, in these closing moments as we seek your face, as we sing this song, as we surrender our lives. There's power in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.